I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A cry to remember. We are coming to the end of our study on the book of Lamentation. Lamentations 5, verse 1 to verse 18. A larger portion of God's word compared to the previous few Lord's Day, where we touch only on a couple of verses. Here it will be 18 verses in total. A cry to remember. It is not that God has forgotten. These are the words of Jeremiah on behalf of a nation that had been greatly devastated by the invasion of the Babylonians. The land is now occupied by aliens. You find the word aliens in the text that we have read. Aliens means strangers, foreigners. When God brought Israel into the promised land, every inch of the promised land was owned only by God's people. If you are not God's children, you are not allowed to own one inch of God's promised land to his people. If you are a stranger that is a non-Israelite and you want to live in that land, you will always be an employee, a servant, a slave. And so many of them will remain because they have embraced the God of Israel, preparing to give up their rights to own any land. They were prepared to serve because they understood and accepted this was God's promised land to Israel and to no one else. It was a special piece of land. It was a land given to a nation that God himself had prepared from the very beginning. Through this nation, the Messiah will ultimately come forth. The Lord Jesus Christ must come into this world as a human being. That means he must belong to a particular nation. Every nation on this earth is designed by man. There is only one nation that's designed by God, and that's Israel. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob's new name, Israel. And so this was the nation that God had designed for the whole world, in order that the Messiah will ultimately come to take on the form of a man, in order to die for us, to defeat Satan, to defeat our last enemy, death. And so when Israel lived in the Old Testament days, this was the only nation that will shine forth the goodness, the grace, and the mercies of God. No other nation, by the way that they lived and exist on this earth, will reflect the glory, the grace, and the mercies of God, except Israel. But when Israel sinned against God, when Israel ceased to reflect the goodness, the grace, and the mercies of God, and replace it with the reflection of idols, the worship of idols, all the wretched sins that follow with the worship of idols, God was left with no choice but to destroy that Old Testament witness. And that destruction would be to remove Israel from the land of promise. To be a nation, you must have these three elements. The moment any of these elements are destroyed, the nation will cease to exist. You must have a lot of people. If the land is present, you have the laws, the constitution that would include your religious laws, the moral laws, and the civil law. But without anybody on the land, in the land, that's not a witness. If you have the people, without the word of God, the constitution, you will also not be a witness. If you have the people, you have the constitution, but without the land, you are not a nation. And that was why throughout the entire wilderness wandering, as you study the book of Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, including Deuteronomy, Israel was never called a nation. They were constantly called the people of Israel, not the nation of Israel, not yet. Until after Joshua brought them in, then they became a nation. And so when they were removed from the land, they ceased to be a nation. What it means was that the only witness to the whole world of the goodness, the grace, and the mercies of God was gone. The world was plunged into spiritual darkness for 70 long years until the exile was over, when God brought them back in the days of Ezra, Nehemiah, and Zerubbabel. This was the backdrop that caused Jeremiah to cry the way he cried in these 18 verses. Remember, not that God has forgotten. God never forgets. But when you are in such a sad, sad state, when Jeremiah understood his theology whereby God's mercy and grace, God's glory, had departed from Israel. Israel has ceased to exist from the face of the earth. And now they are all dispersed as non-entities throughout the many different foreign lands. He cried because he realized and understood the spiritual significance, the destitute, in the spiritual sense of what had happened. And so he cried to the Lord, "Remember, O Lord, remember what is come upon us. Consider and behold our reproach." The word reproach means our disgrace, our shame. Look at Israel. Israel is no more. They had been in the promised land since 1405. That was the year that Joshua brought them in to begin the conquest. The conquest lasted about 6 to 7 years. And from that point onwards, they had always enjoyed safety and security in the promised land. It was theirs. Complacency set in. They thought that they will never be removed from the promised land. They had been in existence for so long, since 1405. But the year 586 was the year that Jeremiah penned these words in Lamentations. Israel has ceased to exist. Hundreds of years of existence eradicated in just a brief moment of a few years. The Babylonians came and wiped Israel off the face of the earth. It was not any ordinary nation. The spiritual significance was gone. It's as if the Lord has switched off the light of the world. No more spiritual light to shine in the world of spiritual darkness. And so he cried, "Remember, O Lord." It's a covenantal term. He didn't say, "Remember, God." That would be to cry to God for his power. He was not. He was crying to God because of a covenantal relationship. There have been many nations who have been far, far worse in their devastation than what Israel had experienced and how Jeremiah had described for us during the past 4 chapters of Lamentations. Far, far worse. And many nations have been dispersed and never to return. Have you ever read or seen on present-day Atlas a nation called the Amalekites, a nation called the Philistines, the Ammonites, the Moabites? They were all gone. And there are many, many more nations in the past created and designed by man have been erased from the face of the earth, never to come back again. But they were just purely physical nations with only a political and economic strength. And once the strength diminished and decayed and another superpower comes and destroyed it, that was it. You get assimilated into the rest of the superpower nations, never to be seen again. That's the way of nations. Singapore will be no different. The rest of the nations of the world will be no different. But Israel was different. It was not a political and economic nation with that purpose. It was a spiritual nation designed with that purpose, a spiritual purpose, not political, not economic. And so when he was gone, he cried, "Remember us. We are disgraced." Not the political from the economic sense. It was a spiritual sense. "We are disgraced. We are completely gone. No more a witness Remember us, O Lord. When will we come back? Please. He was, as it were, crying on behalf of not just Israel, but the whole world. Imagine a world without a witness. But the Spirit of God will be gone. The Lord Jesus Christ warns us that prior to the revelation of the great capital A Antichrist, the church will be raptured, will be taken from the face of the earth. And then the Antichrist will begin his 7 years of great tribulation. And then the Lord Jesus Christ will return in power, riding on a white horse to conquer and to punish the evil men, Satan and his demons. But until that day comes, how do you think we fare compared to Israel? When God removed Israel from the face of the earth, we have studied in the past, I hope you remember, some of the grotesque sins that Israel committed. That was why God had to remove them from the face of the earth. They practiced divination. They were superstitious. They offered their sons and their daughters to the gods of Baal and Ashtaroth. Let them walk through fire. Please don't think that just because our sons, our daughters are with us, we are not doing the same. If all we care about in our children's welfare is their education, all we care about is their tuition, how they can excel in their studies and how they will get great and very fat jobs, how is it different from the days of the kings when they offered their sons to Baal and Ashtaroth? Are we not doing the same? Ours is just a slow death. We don't tell our children about the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't pray with them. We don't pray for them. We don't point them in the spiritual direction. We point them in the face of the world. And they grow up and they become so worldly in their dressing, in their thinking, in their speech. And all they care about is how to make it big and rich in the world. Can we really stand before God and say we are blameless? Is it so different from offering children before the fire of Baal and Ashtaroth? That was a swift death. They hear the cry of the sons and the daughters as the fire burned their bodies, thinking that by doing this, they would be offering their best to these gods. What are we doing? Do not be complacent whereby we think that this cry to God to remember us is only for people like Jeremiah, people of the past. We are fine. We don't need to cry to God to remember us because we have not done anything that is sinful and wrong. You sure? We are walking the straight and narrow path. You sure? Are we so happy and so contented with our spiritual well-being that we don't even need to cry? That is the saddest part, isn't it? Don't even see the terrible spiritual state that we are in. And so we distance ourselves. Oh, that person needs to cry to God to remember him. That person needs to, not me, I'm fine. God always remembers me. I am walking the straight and narrow path. Are we sure? Are you so very sure that when you die, breathe your last breath, you can stand before God and God will say to you, "Welcome home, my good and faithful servant." You very sure about that? I hope you are. Because if not, the only time where you can do something about it is right now. Not on the day of judgment. That will be too late. Have you been witnessing to your friends about the Lord Jesus Christ? When was the last time you gave out a tract? How have you been fulfilling the Great Commission? This is just only one test. Have you prayed without ceasing? Husbands, have you loved your wives the way that Christ loved the church, where he gave his life for the church? Providing food on the table and expensive clothes in the closet is not loving the wife. It is to pray with them, pray for them, that by your life and your example, they will grow more and more like Christ. Have they? All these years of your married life, have your spouses grown closer and to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you encouraged them in the things of the Lord to study God's word more, to pray and to be a godly mother, a godly wife? And wives, have you been a godly helper, suitable for your husband as you have been chosen by God to help your husband, to encourage them, to stand in the gap, to look after the household? Have we? Or are we so happy going out into the world to work, making more money, and all we have are just a house with many rooms? But are the rooms filled with the presence of the Lord or the presence of the world? Go home and have a look around. A cry to remember. Jeremiah cried to the Lord, please remember us. We are disgraced. That's the basis of his cry. A relationship. You are Jehovah, my Lord and my God. Please remember us. Because the Bible tells us whenever the word remember is used, where God is the subject, immediately after that, God will do something. When Israel cried to God in the book of Exodus, because of the greater sorrow they experienced due to the hardship that was inflicted upon them by their Egyptian masters, very soon after that, the Lord said, I remember, the Lord remembered the covenant that he had with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And immediately after that, he called Moses, the deliverer, to bring them out of Egypt. And that's why Jeremiah used the word remember, because it is a covenantal term. That's why he cried to Jehovah, the Lord, please remember me. Remember me. Remember all of us. We are in great disgrace. What is the disgrace like? Verse 2 to verse 15. Very sad, very sorrowful. Now remember, it was a national witness. When the land is gone, the witness was gone. The church is not the nation. The church is an ecclesiastical witness. We are not married to the land. The church is primarily spiritual. Israel was spiritual and physical. When they are blessed spiritually, they will be blessed physically, because Israel was a nation where the land was part of what it means to be a nation. A church is the church. We are not part of the nation of Singapore. When Singapore is punished by God, doesn't mean that the church is punished by God. When the nation is blessed economically, doesn't mean that the church is spiritually well and good and fine before God's eyes. It's nothing to do with the nation. We are a church. A church is primarily spiritual in existence. It's not this building. This building can be destroyed, but the church will still stand, because the church is you, people. And therefore, the spiritual well-being of the church will be the spiritual well-being of each and every one of us. If you are spiritually wayward, the church is spiritually wayward. If you remain in sin, the church is in sin. If you are not interested in prayer, the church is not praying. It's not the building. The building can be razed to the ground, but it is the church, the people, that will bring shame and disgrace to the Lord. The punishment, our inheritance is turned to strangers, our houses to aliens, homeless. No more landlords. We are orphans and fatherless. Our mothers are as widows, helpless. Because this is a description of the worst kind of people in Israel. The orphans, the fatherless, the widows. No one will protect them. Totally, completely helpless, defenseless. Verse 4. We have drunken our water for money. It's our water. Why do we have to pay to drink our own water? Our wood is sold unto us. Why do we have to pay to buy the wood that is our own land? Destitute, in other words. We have given the hand to the Egyptians and to the Assyrians to be satisfied with bread. Giving the hand means we have to work. We have to serve the Assyrians, the Egyptians, because of the attack from the Assyrians, which would be the northern kingdom. Now they are in exile serving the Assyrians for bread. Just for a morsel, just to keep body and soul together, they have to serve the Assyrians. Many of them have fled the promised land and they have taken refuge in Egypt. And so now while in Egypt, what do? They also have to work as slaves, as servants, just to have a morsel of bread to keep body and soul together. Our fathers have sinned and are not, and we have borne their iniquities, the consequences of their sins. Now the sons are bearing it. We too can fall into this state. If we as parents today, as adults today, fail the Lord, our children will have to suffer the consequences of our failure. If we are not spiritual, if we have not kept the church, if we have not been exemplary in our behavior, our conduct, and when we leave this world, we leave behind a church that is destitute, bankrupt of any spiritual truth and well-being. That people come to church, our sons and our daughters and our grandchildren will come to church. What do they find? Do they find Christ? Do they find the truth? Or will they find nothing but just a so-called church, no different from the community center next door? They are better than we are. At least they have a basketball court and some badminton courts. We don't. Do you want this to be the legacy for our children? That this is what we will leave behind? Don't wait until everything is destroyed. We talk about churches in America and Australia that have been completely void of any spiritual value. They have been sold to officers for business, to sold to sports people, to use it to train in karate and judo and restaurants. Do you want this to happen to Pandan one day, 20, 30 years down the road, if the Lord tarries, you come in here and all you find will be dining tables and on top you have karaoke? You think that will not happen? Don't be surprised. If it can happen to those great cathedrals of the past, it can happen to us. That means there will be one generation that will be derelict and it will ruin the rest. That was what happened. Jeremiah cried, "We are suffering the consequences of the sins of our fathers. Servants have ruled over us. There is none that doth deliver us out of their hand. We were landlords, now we are slaves. Our servants, aliens, have owned the land, now we have become their servants. They are now our masters. We got our bread with the peril of our lives because of the sword of the wilderness. We have to run and hide if we do not want to be slaves. We are fugitives. We have to get food at the risk of being captured and killed. Our skin are black like oven because of the terrible famine." That's exactly what happened when you look at people who are starving. Remember the earlier verses where they have to boil their children alive? That was while they were encircled before the Babylonians entered the city to destroy them. That's how you destroy walled up cities in those days. Encircle them and starve them to death until they surrendered. And now after Jerusalem has been destroyed, the temple is gone, the people are now suffering. No food. They ravish the women in Zion and the maids in the cities of Judah. The women were abused. Horrific famine. Our daughters, our wives, abused by men, like in the days of war, and the Japanese came. Comfort women, they call them, a euphemism to cover the horrific sins they have committed. They took the young men to grind, and the children fell under the wood. The strength of a young man, they turned them into laborers. The elders have ceased from the gate. They're supposed to be leaders, exemplary. And then you have the young men from their music, no more singing, no more joy. The joy of our heart is ceased. Our dance is turned into mourning. Remember, as a nation, when these things happened, this is exactly what Jeremiah saw, and he cried to the Lord, "Our witness is gone." We are supposed to be rejoicing as young men in the glory of the Lord, basking in the glory of God, but it's all gone now. no more joy, no more happiness. But for us as a church, it is the spiritual well-being that we have to call to remembrance. How are we spiritually? The sadness and the danger is the fact that when we are in spiritual deprivation and we don't even realize it, when we are bankrupt in our soul and we don't realize it, do you know why? Because everyone around us is the same. The spirituality in Christianity today is so low, so very low, so much so that if we just simply meet this mark, which is so low, we feel so comfortable. We think that we are spiritually high, and we don't even realize that we are so spiritually low. Compared to the days of the apostles in the book of Acts, if they were 10 upon 10, we are perhaps 2 or 3 upon 10. Do you realize that? But the problem is we are so contented. We don't even want to cry to the Lord to remember us because we think we are fine. Only those who realize that they are spiritually down and bankrupt, then they will cry to the Lord, remember me, help me, lift me up, help me to realize the state that I am in, to lift me up out of my spiritual slumber and stupor, not realizing that the days we can serve him are numbered. We continue to serve the world. We continue to leverage in our own lust, in our heart's desire, void of God's leading and God's guidance. Is that not true? Is it not true that many of us still indulge in the vices of this world because the world would sing their tune and we are deceived by this tune? It's okay to drink for medicinal reasons, and so we drink. We indulge in social drinking. We don't care. We continue to gamble. We continue to smoke. These are just simple vices. Everyone is doing it. It's okay. I just do it behind the scene. Nobody watches. Nobody knows. Whether man sees or not, you think that is crucial? It's what God sees that is crucial. Our lack of prayer before God. We are more interested in games than in God. The Bible warns us that in the last days, the world will be a lover of pleasure. Remember? Lovers of pleasures. That's what we see today. Lovers of pleasures. People wake up early in the morning to watch Tiger Woods play. People wake up early in the morning or stay up late at night to watch a football match between Chelsea and Arsenal, Manchester United and Liverpool. All these are the big names in EPL. How many of us will stay up late just to pray 1 hour longer? Our dear sister Abigail is in ICU. How many of us can honestly say that we have sacrificed 1 minute on our knees to intercede on her behalf, on the family's behalf? Do we not care? There are many who are hurting, who are crying out. Is our heart really that hardened that we have to wait until everything is completely gone, like what happened to Israel, before we really cry to the Lord? What must it take for us to really cry to the Lord? Lord, please remember me. We need you. Help us. Where is this thirst and hunger for righteousness? There is so much thirst and hunger for the things of the world, for money, for pleasure, for promotions. This crisis did not do much good in our lives, has it? Singaporeans are still living as if there is no crisis. And that is to our own spiritual condemnation and judgment one day. To be found in Calvary Pandan is of little use if we are not found in the good graces of God Almighty. Membership in Calvary Pandan is different from name written in the book of life. A word of accolade from the pastors and elders is nothing compared to the word of commendation from the Lord Jesus himself. What must it take for us to cry like Jeremiah? Lord, remember me. Remember my son. Remember my daughter. They are growing up. The world is such a wicked and dangerous place. Protect them and keep them safe. The only safety in this world of ours is the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else. Just as the only safety in the days of Noah was in the ark before the flood came. The only safety, safeguard against the wiles of the Satan, of the evil one in this wicked world of ours, is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not in education. It's not in a big house. It's not in lots of money. All these things are helpless against Satan. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why it is so sad when parents care only for the physical and material well-being of our children at the neglect of their spiritual well-being. And we still do not realize the danger that we are in and we have placed our children in. Do you pray with them every day before they go to school? Do you pray with them every night before they go to bed? Do we? Are we so caught up in our little world of making more money? What for? Why do you want to make so much money for? Is not it enough to have food on the table and clothes on our back? That you need that much more? I wish we would give more of our lives than our tithe and our offering to the Lord. I wish our tithe and offering would diminish and more of our life and our time spent in prayer and crying to the Lord to remember us. The third aspect of Jeremiah's cry is no more blaming the sin on the fathers. The crown is fallen from our head, O Lord. Woe, will you cry this? Woe unto us, we have sinned. Yes, the consequences of the father's sin, the children are experiencing. But the children were not guiltless. The children deserve what they experienced too, because they too had sinned against the Lord. For this our heart is faint. For these things our eyes are dim. You know why dim? Because it had been covered with tears. We can't see through our tears. And our heart is so wickedly, so full of heaviness because of the mountain of Zion, which is desolate. The foxes walk into it. Jerusalem is still there, but there are no inhabitants. You have wild animals, no more temple, no more place of worship. Once upon a time, it was full of people rejoicing and praising the Lord like in the glorious days of David and Solomon. But when you look at it now, oh, the name Jerusalem is still there. That is now occupied by wild animals, no more God's people. Foxes walk upon it. We live in perilous times, the 21st century. It's going to get from bad to worse. God had prophesied that in this world of ours. Will we not cry to God to help us remember? Remember us for the spiritual deprivation that we have brought ourselves into, our children into. Please do not think that we are healthy in this church, because that is the greatest way to fall. Not even realize how sick we are, how much we need the Lord. You look at our prayer meeting, 100-odd people. How many of us are here? Minus the children, 10%, slightly above. Could there not be more? Are we so full of confidence that we do not need to cry to God for help? Are we so self-centered that we do not want to come and pray on behalf of others? Are we so full of the knowledge of God that a morning service is all that I need? I didn't need to do my quiet time. I don't need to attend sunset. I don't need to attend any of the fellowship groups, because my daily diet is just what I receive on this Lord's Day morning. Why don't you just eat one meal for the rest of the week? Why don't you just simply have one lunch that will cover the rest of the week? Why do we want to eat so much physical food? And why are we so satisfied with one short spiritual food? ABC is not growing. The DHW is also shrinking. Dick is word. We are not interested in God's word. And yet, we think we are fine. We don't need to cry, Lord, remember me. No need. That is the worst state to be in. Full of delusion, thinking that all is well, like the proverbial ostrich, sticking our head in the sand after exhaustion, running from the scavenger, the lion, desiring to kill it. He ran into complete total exhaustion and then stick his head in the sand thinking he's safe. And then the roaring lion will come and devour it. Please let there be a change in our lives. Let us cry like Jeremiah. Remember, O Lord, remember. You know what you need the Lord to remember you for. Your walk with your wife, your walk with your husband, your walk with your children, your walk in your prayer life, your walk in the study of God's word, your walk in your office as a living ambassador of Christ, your walk in school as a godly student. We all know what we need to cry to the Lord for. Please, let us all cry to the Lord to remember us, that He may be gracious and merciful, to stir within our hearts to live for our Savior before the night comes, and then it will be too late for all of us. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts, O Lord, out of thy holy word. For we bow humbly before thee, acknowledging that we need thee. For there are so many aspects of our lives that need cleansing and sanctifying. May the word of everlasting life proclaim this morning, sanctify the hearts of everyone, that we may realize how much we need to cry to the Lord to remember us, for our children's sake, for the Lord's sake, for the witness of our Savior's sake. O Lord, so much we have to cry to thee, to intervene, to help us, to lift us up, for we are in dire straits. O Lord, may thou cause us to realize the danger that we are in and to draw us out of this spiritual despondency that many of us are in without realizing it. O Lord, may thy Holy Spirit work a mighty work in the heart of every one of us. For Jesus' sake, hear our cry. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen.